Braves did win against the Athletics last night, 9-2. It was, you get a homer and you get a homer night for the Braves. Ronald got two. Drake Baldwin got a three-run homer. Austin Riley had a two-run homer. Marcel got a solo. It was a record high for the season of 5 home runs for the Braves last night. Are we delighted? Are we back on board? How are we feeling about all this?
I mean, I don't see how you can't be delighted if you're a Braves fan to see that little taste of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it means for the long-term future. I think that ballpark plays into that aspect. I think, you know, Bryce Elder obviously having a 6-run cushion before he even has to get a 4th out, definitely helps. But it was nice to see for one night. It reminded you of what this team is capable of. And, you know, you just wonder if you could get through a Spencer Strider start tonight, if you could, in fact, win the series, which would be a delight. I don't know at this point what a realistic goal is, I guess, for the Braves, because I think we all kind of came to the terms that, you know, that ship has sailed on the playoffs and making a run. But, you know, if you start to look at it, can they get back to like 500, then that would be a nice goal.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm just taking it one game at a time. Look, you know, just giving it 100% as a fan and taking it one day at a time. And when they win, I'm going to celebrate it. When they lose, I'm just going to go, all right, season's over. No. In all reality, look, I always want my team to win. Major League Baseball draft picks mean nothing to me as far as the fact that, oh, we got the first pick. I mean, there's like 70 rounds in the Major League Baseball draft, it seems like, and they build their team so much. So the whole tanking for a draft pick is not it would be great to get a Paul Skeens-type player. It'd be awesome. We got the first pick. We're going to get like a Paul. But I don't remember – I don't recall, you know, it would be another year from now, right? I mean, before that is even picked. So, yeah, I don't think about it like that. I guess for me is that I have no expectations anymore moving forward. So when they win, it's great. And I'm like, well, hopefully they can do two in a row. I'm glad what I saw from Elder. It was nice to see him kind of get back on track a little bit. Spencer Strider now is out there. And then you will get Grant Holmes. And then I don't know what you're going to get for a couple starts. So, you know, I'd love to see the bats get going. I'd love to see the bats build momentum no matter what at the end of the year. So that way, when you look forward, you look towards next season, you at least can't say, well, they've slumped for 2 straight years. You can say, well, they picked it up late in the season. So maybe that offense will click this year, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I also, you know, Marcell Ozuna hits a tater last night, and I'm just going to be real here. My first thought was, if he can go on a tear, maybe there's a trade out there.
Mm.
Maybe there's a trade partner because obviously he's coming to the end of his contract. The way he's been hitting and the hip injury and everything else, it's like you're not going to get anything for him. But, you know, if all of a sudden he gets hot in the next couple of days and you're like, okay, maybe I could see something happening right there. But other than that, I don't know. It was nice to see. Look, Ronald Acuna, if you have to take a day off for injury every other day and come back and hit a home run every time you come off an injury, then that's what we'll deal with as well, because that seems to be a theme for him this year, just come back and hit a tater in his first at bat after he's been injured. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it means long term, but it was good for one night at least to stop the, 13-game losing streak you had in the state of California.
Right.
So, yeah, that's good.
It was a good, nice, bright spot.
You're going to get somebody else's prospect that's basically aged out of their system for Ozuna. That's a realistic thing of what you would get for him if he doesn't 10-5 it. I'm not sure if I 100% believe Acuna was even injured. Not sure if they maybe weren't just resting him up knowing he's about to have a big weekend. I don't really care either way. I don't think it cost you the game Tuesday. I don't think Ronald Acuna Jr. was the difference in the game Tuesday. So I'm glad he was back last night, though, and looked healthy.
Yeah. Well, we do have Strider on the mound tonight, so hopefully they can win this series and then get a couple days off with the All-Star break to rest up and get started on that second half. Now, you can scroll Twitter today all day long, read the noise. Or you can hear what Mike and Bo have to say when it comes with some weight. Mike was in the trenches with the Falcons in his offensive lineman days. Bo, he's on the tarmac with these guys, traveling with the team every week. They know the Falcons. So when we weigh out these superlatives, what they say matters. We are sizing up the opponents for the quarterbacks the Falcons will be facing this season. We've kind of gotten some out of the way that you're not as worried about. Colts, Vikings, and the Saints are the ones I heard you guys say, like, we can kind of put those off to the side. Now, yeah. Who are the ones you are considering could be a problem for the Falcons this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with, like, this is going to be, like, kind of an honorable mention for me. I had Tua Tagovailoa just missed my list. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Because, as you guys know, I'm a big Tua fan. It is what it is. But, yeah, he missed my list just simply from the fact that he's had the concussion issues. And when he did come back from the concussion last year, he wasn't the same. I mean, no part of that Miami team was the same last year. Now, if he can return to form from 2 years ago, he definitely is the kind of quarterback that can dice you up. But too many unknowns, too many ups and downs throughout the last few years for Tua Tagovailoa and that Miami team for me to have included him on the top five list. So he kind of just missed it for me.
Brock Purdy just missed it for me.
Okay.
And I was actually, just to be completely transparent, I was debating my five and six for me was between Purdy and Tua.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with, for me, their systems.
Yep.
They're the same system, essentially, and it's very similar to the one we run here. And they also have a plethora of weapons. Now, I think the Dolphins, probably healthy, have more weapons because of the absence of Debo. But then you look at Christian McCaffrey with Purdy and Brandon Ayuk, and maybe Ricky Pearsall stepping forward with Kittle. Those are pretty. That's pretty good right there. But then you look down in Miami, they got A-Chain, Waddle. You know, Tyreek Hill. I don't know what Waller will be. That's kind of an unknown right now. But I think a healthy Tua to me, if I'm taking Brock Purdy and Tua healthy, if all the things are the same, I'm probably taking Tua first. And that's on a slight on Purdy.
Allie, it's terrifying how similarly we think in a lot of these things, because my number five on my list is Brock Purdy for all the reasons that he just talked about.
I flip-flopped
him.
Damn.
Tua just missed it, and I put Brock Purdy at number five on my list, and I flip-flopped for the exact reasons you're talking about. I think the run game is stronger in San Francisco, and I think when things go haywire, they can rely on the run game and the other different things within that system. I don't think Miami has that ability yet. I think A-Chain, and remember, we did the run back. I thought A-Chain's going to be good. I just don't know if I trust him as much as a whole as Christian McCaffrey if he can stay healthy. So I put Brock Purdy right there at number five.
I'm not sure, and I don't know, this isn't a shot, so don't take it this way, but I think it probably starts for me, if I'm talking about the running game and what they can be offensively up front, I don't think the Dolphins' offensive line is as good as what San Francisco can be.
I agree. And that's kind of where I landed on that. So I had agreeing. Yeah, I know. And I don't think we're going to agree on our next four, honestly, in a row.
Maybe until
we get to one. At number four, I had Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Well, I actually did not have Baker Mayfield, but he's on my list.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I figured as much. And honestly, Baker was kind of, I think I went into this thinking that Baker would be fringe five, six, kind of where I just mentioned Brock Purdy and Tua. But, man, he's been good the last couple of years. And you start looking at his numbers and the 4,500 passing yards and all the touchdowns you had a year ago, he's just a completely different player. And you're talking about two different systems that he's played in the last couple of years under Canales and Liam Cohen. I know that there's a different offensive coordinator down there this year, but Baker, boy, with those wide receivers they have, he's been a difference maker. So I had him at number four.
Same premise to the system, right? Just different guy, just different.
Sure.
Just different little.
You would think, yes.
Just different little things that they want to do within the same system, which is a McVay
passing
system.
Wise, yes.
Yeah.
Passing wise, yes. The run game was completely different from last year than a year ago.
Yeah. I think that's not just a Liam Cohen thing. I think it is. The advancement of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think it is the finding of
Bucky Irving
along with Rashad White. I think that comes into play as well. And I think Liam Cohen maybe put a little more emphasis on it. So I don't think it's just one thing or the other there. I don't think it's just a play caller. I actually had Matthew Stafford as four.
Wow.
And the reason I had Stafford at four is because at any given moment, Matthew Stafford is still a top eight quarterback in this league, top 10. Let's say top 10, because I don't want to get carried away. To me, though, he is limited with his feet. He only moved out of the pocket going for 30 times for 41 yards last year. Now, 10 of those were first downs, but he's very accurate. He had a ho-hum year, really, 20 touchdowns, 8 picks, but you have put Puka in there and some of his the way they use some of their guys, their tight end, whose name slips me, and their run game. is still good enough to balance. I think Matthew Stafford at any given moment can pick a defense apart. So for me, he was my fourth.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, and he's definitely on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go any further because I know we're up against the clock and we're going to get back to it in about 20 minutes, but he's definitely on my list too, and I think you're right. Look, he's just one of those guys, and this quote came out about Travis Kelce, I think, from the Chiefs GM yesterday, where he was being honest about Travis Kelce. He's like, is he the same guy he was 8 years ago? No, but the best ones can find it when they need to, and in the stretch run, and I think that's exactly how I think about Matthew Stafford. Like, the best ones can absolutely step up and find it when they need to, and he's one of those guys.
And Baker Mayfield, for the record, is on my list. There's a couple of reasons why he's higher than Matthew Stafford for
okay.
me.
Right.
Well, we're going to pause on that there. We'll reveal the top three for the both of you. We'll do that at 7 o'clock. Coming up next in the front page, Deion Sanders is making his opinion known about college football salaries. That'll be coming up. And we've got my Allie Mack drop. It is Throwback Thursday Trivia Day. Mike is in the lead, 4-3. We will see who can pull ahead with the theme. Hey now, you're an all-star. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.